Hey everyone, a huge weekend in sports is coming up, and if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25. Or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now, or use promo code SBG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, live out at Prime Social. Not that you can get in here anyway, but we're going to be broadcasting here, and then we're going to be playing in the tournament. We want you to come out. You can get in anywhere from noon until about 2:15 or so. So if you are, if today is one of the holiest of holidays, April Fool's. So if you're looking for a great way to spend the holiday, it's right here at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. So we're going to be here all morning long, and we want you to come on by and play in the tournament with us today. Tyler is in the studio today. That I'm sure Charles Altuve will love that. Because he loves Tyler Cito. Welcome into the show, Tyler. How are you?
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen.
Thank you for getting up, and because Dell is lazy.
Not how that works.
That's how, pretty much.
No, then why am I here?
Yeah. He actually had to drive further.
Yeah, and get up earlier. So what are you talking about? Well, that's not how laziness works.
Well, I'm pretty sure even if you did all that, I'm pretty sure you were still being lazy about it.
Whatever.
Here's the deal. What a weekend. What a great weekend, wasn't it? I mean, all the basketball action, how all the Astros.
Stay hot, Astros.
All the Astros hitting, nonstop hijinks and hilarity on the base paths.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are still excited about baseball season?
Yeah, four games in, are you telling me?
Well.
There's an article coming.
Yeah.
There's an article coming.
No, there's
Alex Bregman's getting ready to catch an article.
There's not an article coming. It's just this is the way they start. What the bleep in the bleep? How about get a freaking hit?
What kind of? We must have like 15 people on Twitter say, John's going to freak out.
I know. I'm going to wait until after the Rangers series.
I'm
going to
predict in this show, you will freak out at some point.
No, I'm not going to freak out about a start against the Tampa Bay Rays because they're one of the great teams in baseball.
Well, the Rays, Rays throwed every own the Astros there.
They kind of do.
The Astros are like 9-18.
That freaking stadium they can't play in. I don't know why the Rays would want to leave that stadium when the Astros can't play there. So might as well just stay there. Might as well just have the Astros play there every day. Oh, my God. Your Rays pitching staff is the greatest pitching. It's the 71 Orioles. That's what it is. How are you going to hit the 71 Orioles?
What do you think of Wade Miley?
I thought, okay.
He's all right. Yeah, he looked like a four.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he looked like. He looked like a four.
You know, the other guys pitched. I almost. You know what?
Your pitching was okay.
No, your pitching
was okay.
Fine.
You just didn't hit.
What? You gave up a 1-4?
All your hitting came in one game.
You gave up four runs in one game.
Yeah.
And that was because of Aledmys Diaz, who's one of the great shortstops of our time.
They look like a good under team.
They actually do. At some point, they're going to turn into an over team. When they wake up, holy crap, this is the same as the year before.
That's what they do. Bregman is off. You know, Bregman's – I read him the other day. His OPS is in the 700s in April for over the last 3 years. It's what he does.
Yeah.
He starts slowly, and then what you need is – and usually Springer – I'm trying to remember if Springer is hot or cold. It's one or the other. But Yeah, they just they got off to a bad start offensively. It is what it is. I
mean, and it would help if Correa was there, you know, all the time. That would be great instead of Aledmys Diaz. We'll find out. I mean, it's a long season. But
now we knew he wasn't going
to bad start,
but he wasn't going to.
He's never going to be Marwin. He's not going to be Marwin.
And I got to tell you now, and it's not that the pitching wasn't bad this weekend. I saw Keuchel's talking to the Padres. Do you think the door is closed on that?
Yeah.
Why? I just don't understand why it's closed. Who's closed it? On which side?
He's not going to get what he wants here. That's not happening. I don't know that they're going to spend any amount of. I mean, I don't know that they're even. I think they offered a couple of years. I think at about 15. I think that's what it, you know. That's what the rumor mill was. I don't know that's. First of all, he wants that, and I don't know if I would. I mean, I don't know. Do you know what Keuchel is right now?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
I don't. I'm just.
If you want to know the truth, I'd rather have CFM for 215.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. He's
not a free agent. No. But I mean, if you were going to give 215, I would rather.
But Keuchel's an actual free agent.
No, I know.
I mean,
but so was Charlie Morton. If you were going to give 215, give it to Charlie Morton.
You know this. The Astros. Now I don't. The Astros have some money, but this entire time, this is the reason why they weren't going to pay Marwin. They weren't going to pay Charlie Morton. They, you know, guys, we thought, well, maybe. I mean, maybe they were never going to pay those guys because I think I don't know if there was always going to be Bregman, but there's a chance it was going to. I think there was always going to be the extension for Verlander. So they know that's money they were going to spend.
Yeah.
So I think that's the reason.
But they weren't spending that this year.
They were so dead set on not spending on their free agents beyond a year,
right,
because they're going
right.
to. And maybe they knew they were going to do this Bregman deal. Maybe right. that's something they kind of felt like.
They did. You know, Presley. They did Bregman. They did Verlander.
Right.
So I guess, you know, and again, I think, you know, and I think hopefully Cole is in the picture that they want to get him long term. It's going to be, now that's the commitment to a long term, we're going to be good Astros. That to me is the commitment. Is if you do Gerrit Cole for 4 or 5 years, you're saying we're in this for the long haul, and we believe in the young foundation that we've got locked up now, other than Springer and Correa, and that'll be, I think, then it comes to decision time, and Correa's got to stay healthy. I mean, him being gone this weekend or at the start of this season hurt them. Aledmys Diaz playing first base cost him a game, or playing shortstop cost him a game, not being able to throw to first base.
Yeah.
That cost them.
Yeah.
And Carlos Correa has cost them missing games over the last 3 years.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back.
Missed three.
But, what are the odds that Carlos Correa plays 120 games this year?
I think
they're bad.
Oh, he's healthier than Chris Paul is, for example.
Is he?
I think.
Are you really sure about that?
Oh, well, Carlos had an injury. Like, it's not soft tissue stuff with Carlos. If he, you know, if he hurts his wrist, he's not going to be able to swing a bat.
He played 153 games, then he played 109, then he played 110. So, I mean, he's 110
guy.
That's
a lot of missed games.
A lot of missed games. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, no, you know, I want to see Carlos Correa be Carlos Correa again. I don't think anybody in this city really believes that. And this Daniela stuff and everything.
I don't have the same confidence in him.
No, I don't know that.
I remember my thought was, well, it's, you know, looks like George Springer's just going to have to be the sacrificial lamb. They're going to have to let him go at some point because, you know, you got Keuchel and you've got – this is my thought. You got Keuchel and you've got Altuve and now Bregman and Correa. And you can't let Correa go, man. This is another Jeter. You can't let him go. Man, things have really changed over the last 2 years.
Right now, if you had to pick one, you've got to pick one right now. Which one would you rather have in a long-term – in a four-year deal? Springer or Correa?
I know Correa has the higher upside. I recognize that.
I know,
Correa
but you know that he's going
range,
to be. First of all,
defense.
Is he going to be there? And secondly, are you sure he's going to be that guy?
Right now, if I had to gamble on it, I would gamble Springer because, and it's easy, coming off the season Carlos had. I mean, that's actually, it feels easy. But if you really project, there is a higher upside to Correa, in my opinion.
Yes.
Correa has like, I'm still working off, maybe this is outdated, but I'm still working off this notion that Carlos has MVP caliber talent. But not staying healthy, you know, the best ability is availability, and he has not been that. And then number two, it's I think something that gets – George Springer's the heartbeat. He's one of the heartbeats. I think Carlos is probably the other one. Not Carlos, but Altuve. But George Springer is one of the heartbeats of this team.
Yeah.
I mean, I worry that if you didn't have a George Springer, where this would go. But then again, money could end up tearing this team apart. You just – I don't know. I hate already thinking about that kind of stuff. But I do think George – there's something about George Springer that really gives this team its heart. And I would hate to see him leave. So unless Carlos is going to be competing at an MVP caliber, you know, I would hate to see Springer ever leave Houston. If
no,
but I don't. You know, I understand. I don't think he has the upside that Carlos has, but he's still doing it though, and he plays. And I think Georgie's available,
and he was a World Series MVP. We know he's got the nuts, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of the nuts, we're a Prime Social. And we're going to start our radio show at 7 o'clock on Thursday. It's called The Nuts. And it's me and Steve and Lance when he can possibly get there. It is dealers. It is managers here. It's all poker. It's The Nuts. And if you don't know, it's not like zany. It's horns and clowns and, you know, tricycles. Not that kind of nuts. The Nuts means you have the best hand. That's what the nuts mean in poker. And if you're playing a high-low game and you have nut-nut, it means you have both the high and the low best hands. So that's going to start on Thursday.
I learned that term when I was in New Orleans, when I was going to school at Tulane. When I was playing basketball at Tulane and going to the pool halls and drinking and eating cheese fries in school. So in the pool hall, Buffalo Jimmy's in Sports Palace, which was where I first went until Buffalo opened up. Buffalo's and then the new one, which was Buffalo's. I think there were two different Buffalo's.
Buffalo's.
Buffalo Jimmy.
Buffalo Jimmy opened up Buffalo's and then Buffalo's.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the second one. But those are terms that I, you know, send the cheese was about money.
Yeah.
Send the cheese. And then they also say ship it here.
Yeah.
And then the nuts. And so I didn't know. Man, he's got that's the stone nuts. That's the nuts. This, you know, did you have anything? The black bear. There was two guys they called bear, white bear and black bear. I'll let you guess why one was white bear and one was black bear. So because everybody had nicknames in there.
Sounds
did
like,
you have? Did you get it, Kerwin? Did you get? Because they called me Kerwin. Kerwin, did you get any of the, you know, did you get any of the king cake the black bear brought in? It's the nuts. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, nuts means,
that means
good.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. And it's and that terminology has stayed, like they say it today. The nuts. That was
I'm sure they didn't make that up. It was it was
no, it's around,
it's been passed around.
Nuts. Yeah. The nuts is a great term.
And if the best is when you're playing a high low game. We got a high low game that starts about 2 o'clock every day here, in Omaha, high low, eight or lower.
Yeah.
And the best is when you go nut nut. Nut nut. High nut and low nut. Okay. That's the best. So if you're looking for the best, it's the nuts.
You know
on Thursday
who had the
night.
You know who had the nuts in the tournament? Virginia had the nuts.
Yeah.
Virginia.
Okay, the four teams that are left, rank them. On the other side.
Yeah.
Right here on ESPN 97.5. We will do that for you on the other side. It's live from Prime Social, 7801 West. Time to come play in the tournament today. 5,000 guaranteed, 10,000 on Friday, right here at Prime Social.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Virginia Michigan State, Auburn, and Texas Tech make it to the Final Four. It was a good weekend, man. A lot of good games. Boy, that Purdue game was, that Purdue-Virginia game was outstanding. Can somebody explain why Zion's not touching the ball? Dell, what was your stat about R.J. Barrett in the losses that Duke had when Zion was healthy?
Yeah, in games that Duke lost where Zion was actually on the floor, I think they're 0-3, or at least they lost three games. R.J. Barrett's 0-9 in those situations in the final minute, and other Duke players shot the ball three times, Zion shot the ball once. So Coach K, or however it's worked
13
out.
13 possessions and Zion touched it
or
once.
Maybe it's less. Yeah, or maybe their offensive rebounds, who knows how it went. But Zion has shot the ball once when Duke lost late.
In the last couple of minutes of this, or what?
Duke lost three games, Zion Williams in the lineup this year. R.J. Barrett went 0-9 in the final minute of those three games. The rest of the team had three total shots. Zion had one.
Who's that on? Because R.J. Barrett took the last shot. Zion didn't touch the ball in the last three possessions.
Zion is a monster inside.
Why is he? Is that on Coach K?
Well,
that he doesn't tell you. You have to get the ball to Zion.
I don't know if timeouts are called. I'm not sure what plays into him
even
all the time.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that Krzyzewski doesn't have while you're bringing the ball up?
Well, I don't.
You know what? You make a giant Z.
I don't
get
know.
The ball to that guy.
I just don't know the situations, but we saw one possession late in that game where they designed something for Zion and he went up and scored easily. When they kind of had some, it wasn't really a screen, but they got him on the move. He caught it, made a quick move to the rim and was unstoppable and got a layup. I don't know why. I don't remember those games, but I just know he's not taking shots.
Well, I know this. Michigan State simply is just lacks fear, and that's always been the case with Izzo's teams. Turn this up just a little bit. That's always been the case with Izzo's teams. Tom Izzo teams just they don't operate with fear. They operate with confidence. They're good defensive teams. Like every year. I think Duke's teams, Mike Krzyzewski's teams, look similar from year in and year out. I would say that's accurate. Tom Izzo, maybe more than any coach in college basketball, in terms of duration. I mean, I remember going to the Final Four in Indiana when Mattress Mack sent us there when they were trying to get a Rocket Stadium built, and he wanted me to go see Conseco and talk about it at the time it was Conseco Fieldhouse in Indiana, wanted to talk about it on the air. There was Tom Izzo, you know, in the Final Four there, too, with the Flintstones. And Tom Izzo has been the same coach and had the same teams over and over and over. You know they're going to defend. You know they're going to be fundamentally sound. You know they're going to be mentally tough. And you know they're going to know their roles, and they're going to play to their roles. And, man, I'll be damned if they didn't do it again. And how about Duke? All these lucky – they've escaped, and they couldn't escape this one. That was I'll tell you this. I didn't think R.J. Barrett, the foul they called, that wasn't a foul. Those bigs were vertical anyway. It wasn't even a foul on R.J. Barrett. I didn't think. He created contact. I didn't see anyone hit him across the arms, across the hands, and I thought they went up vertically. Did you guys think that was a foul?
On the replay, they talked about the left hand of one of the bigs grabbing him as he followed through. I mean, they didn't show a second one. I mean, you can make the case, but initially, yeah, they were both vertical, and then on his follow through, he may have got popped on the wrist a little bit. But either way, I get it. I guess you've got a very skilled player, top five pick, all the things that R.J. Barrett is supposed to be. But we know the deal. Duke is, and even with Zion, at least in this tournament, they're very mortal. When we thought at one point they weren't with him, and the only one that makes them a potential Final Four team was Zion Williamson. The rest of those guys are, I won't say average freshmen, but they don't look like guys who can step in the NBA and be players. They only had one of those guys, and that guy never got shots.
Well, so that all that rhetoric about R.J. Barrett should be taken ahead of Zion Williamson in the NBA draft. Can we stop now?
Well, some people will say Zion's certainly a better college player. I know AJ may have this opinion as well. I think he tweeted about it, how he might be Blake Griffin. Well, he'll be a good player. He'll be an all-star, but will he be the – Blake Griffin's not the best player from that draft.
But is R.J. Barrett?
I would have to – I forgot who he was comparing him to. I think he might have compared him to Paul George. when Paul is now the question is if he's Paul George, do you think he's this Paul is Paul George? Paul George didn't have the impact that Blake Griffin did early. Blake Griffin was a
don't you have to compare him to a white guy otherwise?
No, this is the NBA. You can compare black guys to black guys.
Oh yeah,
in the NBA.
No, it's just receivers and quarterbacks.
Yeah, you don't have to compare black guys to white guys.
Quarterbacks,
in the NFL.
Receivers. You don't have to do linebackers. You don't have to do quarterbacks.
Wait.
Offensive linemen.
So DK is Edelman.
DK is
he's Jordy Nelson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jordy. Okay.
Jordy or maybe Ed McCaffrey.
Okay. But everybody's Ed McCaffrey if you're taller. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Ed's going to be used a lot.
And AJ's listening.
It's like Wes Welker was used a lot.
He compared R.J. Barrett to DeRozan because I think DeRozan was in the Blake Griffin draft. So would you rather have Blake Griffin or DeRozan? Now,
wait a minute. Why does Zion have to be Blake Griffin?
Blake Griffin's an all-star.
Yeah.
You're talking about now what is Zion supposed to be? Is he supposed to be an all-time great?
I think he's got a chance to be. Yeah. Although I can't get past how thick his body type is. I'm watching him.
It doesn't look right on the basketball.
Yeah, but He's quick.
No, he's twitchy.
He's quick.
Like so you look at him and you can see Robert Traylor when he came out of college. Robert Traylor wasn't as heavy. Like that was Robert Traylor's body type coming out. The only difference is he's so springy. Like he's a 40-inch leaper. That's rare. He's going to be 280 pounds.
Robert Traylor and Blake Griffin. Why can't we go LeBron?
Blake Griffin. Well, you're talking about an all-time great.
I know. Maybe. But, I mean, look at the two body types when they were 18. Not now.
Well, he was
when they were 18.
Well, he's bigger than LeBron at 18.
Yeah, he's way bigger.
He's way bigger.
Yeah. Well, but he's got that kind of quickness.
And LeBron was big. Yeah. No, he's got that kind of twitch.
Yeah.
Like, he's that explosive spring. That's the one thing with Zion that brings me back to earth is like, okay, he's got that kind of explosive leaping. I just think he's got to keep his weight down.
But he's always had.
I feel like he can be a 300-pounder easily.
Listen, if he didn't go straight to the NBA, I mean, he had to go to college for a year. But the kind of hype that he had in high school, the
LeBron?
Yeah, no, Zion,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, no, Zion's had the same kind. Yeah.
Very
no,
similar.
I think Zion and LeBron are very similar along their paths. I get why you don't want to comp him to an all-time
great,
though.
Right, I get that. I get that, too, but I'm talking about 18-year-old.
Fact is, man, no, but he's got that kind of impact on games. I mean, I feel more comfortable comping him to LeBron than to – you know, like I said, though, when you start to be 280 – because LeBron, when was it, Dell, when he went back to Cleveland where
he
started
got,
losing weight? Remember he lost weight, which is always smart.
He put on weight or bulk – in Miami, dropped some later in Miami, and then got even smaller in Cleveland.
Yeah, which is, as you get older, it's smarter to try to avoid injury. Mm-hmm. I worry about Zion getting heavier and getting close to 300. Even with all that spring, you're still carrying more weight on your joints. You know, I worry about how healthy he can stay.
Either
if he
that
carries.
Or he gets lighter.
And, let's be clear, I mean – you're talking about guys who had impact. Blake Griffin was an impact player as soon as he stepped on a floor
big
in college.
Yeah.
So it's not an insult to compare to Blake Griffin just because
so.
Blake Griffin, I guess, didn't
have
the winning career in terms of his team. But Blake Griffin's a six-time All-Star. If Zion Williamson becomes Blake Griffin, he's had a really good run.
Well, he's got that kind of popularity that he probably will be. I think you can pretty much bet if you went under over six NBA All-Star games, which one would you do for Zion?
Oh, way over.
Yeah, way over.
Yeah.
Okay, so far, right now.
I think the over-under is 8.5.
What's your all-tournament team right now?
Oh, man.
Carson Edwards.
First.
Yeah.
Carson Edwards first.
That guy looks like an NBA guard. The way he gets smaller, but gets into the lane, makes plays in the lane. He's an impressive player. He stood out to me over the weekend as just a guy who looks like, if you're talking about a guy who makes NBA-type moves, he's that guy.
Uh-huh. That guy could be Steph. Obviously, he compared to Steph because of the five straight 25-point games. But he's got range. He's got a quick release. He's got quickness. That dude could be, instead of R.J. Barrett, that guy. Ja Morant was, you know, we saw his quickness and great. I like Cassius Winston.
Yep.
I like Zion.
What
so
about
far?
The kid from Tech?
Culver.
Culver. Yeah.
He didn't particularly shoot well in the last game, but he is the guy they go to.
That's a team now.
Yeah,
I know.
That's a good team now.
How about the team that they've got an Italian in? Who gets an Italian in the final?
Moretti.
Who gets? Hey. Well, wait a minute. No. What's his name? The Italian swagger from last year.
Chris Corciani?
No.
Vinny Del Negro?
No.
Come
on.
What team did he play for?
DiVincenzo.
Yeah, Vinny. Yeah.
Di Vincenzo.
Yeah. This is the second year the Italians are here.
How about this?
Not to rub it in, and we haven't talked much of Cougars, but where is Carson Edwards from? Humble, Texas.
Is he really?
Yeah, another guy. We talk about what you can build at Houston. Another guy who wasn't so highly recruited, but was a good player coming out, 4-star. Went to Purdue and has become a star after a couple of years. That's a guy you talk about, how you build a program. Maybe
there was another guy that's from Atascocita.
Well, that's his high school. He was born.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah, he was born in Humble, but or hometown is called Humble, but Atascocita.
So he went to Atascocita.
Yeah.
Yeah, JT played against him early. And it
did JT farewell?
Not at all. Kincaid got its ass handed to him by Atascocita, not surprisingly. All right, let's take a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, we are live at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. Home.
Holy crap, Carson Edwards averaged 24 for the season.
Yeah.
24 a game for the season. I thought he was just hot in the tournament.
Here's the problem, I thought. I didn't think they got Klein the ball enough. Let him. I don't. You know that dude was.
Yeah.
He's got an unbelievable shot. I know it was Carson Edwards' day, but you know what? Every once in a while, get Klein a shot. And,
yeah.
And you know what? I think they could have pulled away.
Well, if they would have grabbed a rebound, they would have won.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all they had. Man, the offensive rebounds.
We come back
by Virginia was unbelievable.
I want to give John a chance to get upset about the Astros, but I also want to.
We already did.
He yelled earlier.
No, I think there's more meat on that bone.
Probably.
There's more meat on that bone. And then also, Texans have some more free agent signings.
No.
And then
that's not true.
I do want to talk about the way Chris Beard has built that team is a very unusual – that's a very unusual way. I want to get into that with the grad transfers. And how about Mooney? I just can't get past the way this kid plays. Just watching him play on the court. He is such a throwback player. And then he's got a line cut in his hair like –
Well, that's because his boys got to him. The boys on the team are like, hey, man, you ain't going to rock whatever you're rocking before.
You're looking like 1960.
You're
like 1958. At least put a line. I feel like that line in your head is not tricking
anybody. He didn't show up at Lubbock with that line. The boys were like, give you a little drip, flag you out a little bit.
His reverse layups, his feel around the goal, too, is ridiculous. His spin, like – That's a kid who's been out in a driveway practicing for hours, reverse spins and the feel for backboards.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize that white guy basketball.
I
need to figure out the way the ball spins off the backboard to avoid shot blockers.
His touch around the basket is tremendous.
Yeah.
All right, 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here and get some testosterone.
Well, Men's T Clinic is the place to go for that. Don't just, go to Jerry's House of Testosterone. You don't want to do that because you don't know where Jerry's been and what he's doing. I know this much. At Men's T Clinic, they will test you. They will check your levels in several different areas. And then they have a plan that they will put you on if you're low in testosterone. Well, they'll work with your insurance company first to get it covered. And then they will work on a plan and a treatment plan that is going to be right for you week by week by week by week. And here's what happens. After, I think it's like 3 months, they'll do levels on you again, and they'll do the blood work. They check where you are, and if they need to adjust you up or down, they will do that so that they get it perfect. Your health is their number one concern, but not just your health, your well-being. And when I say well-being, it's also the way that you're living your life, and your well-being and your quality of life is very important to them. And when your testosterone level is where it's supposed to be, not only does your energy level spike, but you just have more confidence. You have way more excitement about waking up and getting through the day, not just powering through, but living your best life. And that can be at work, that can be at home, it can be your libido, it can be the weekends. Don't just be a couch potato that's just trying to survive through life. Go out there and live life. Men's T Clinic can help you do that by getting your testosterone levels back to where they're supposed to be. MensTClinic.com for more information. 4 locations here in the Houston area. MensTClinic.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social,
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Live at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer, home of the daily $5,000 tournaments and the $10,000 guarantee on Friday. So be here between noon and pretty much 2 o'clock right in that neighborhood, and you can play for big money right here at Prime Social. We'll be doing it today, so come and try and get some. Are you playing today? Can you play?
I got to fly. I got to fly out today. So I can't play like a real jerk. Man.
So are you going to be on the show tomorrow?
Does anybody?
Yep, on the show tomorrow, on the show Wednesday. Just wake up at 4 o'clock. And
Has anyone called you on your laziness, not being here for the Prime
yeah,
Social
Do you have conversations about how you're not part of the show ever?
Yeah.
I'm on the show.
Are you sure about that? It feels like you're not on the show.
How many number one shows are you on? That you're really not on it.
Three number one shows I'm on.
But are you actually ever on those shows?
Yeah, I haven't been on Barry. Barry and Joel have been kind of hoity-toity lately.
Well, they can be that way.
Of course, also, I've also been out of town.
Yeah.
Monday through Wednesday, which is I usually come on Monday on my number one show called The Blitz, and then Wednesday on my number one show called The Usual Suspects. Also number
you know
one.
What you know what you're rarely on this number one
that's
show.
Not true
the show with your name
yeah,
actually
that's
in
not
it.
True
the right. Bench with John and Lance that's
so I'm having a little back and forth with AJ who's listening to the
that's
show.
Surprising
Hoffman
AJ Hoffman
not Hinch.
You're not talking to Hinch right now
because right when you say that I thought you're already bitching about why Springer leading off you know
oh maybe they'd have maybe he'd have more RBIs if people
Here
were
we
on
go.
Base that'd be
see
great.
It could have been AJ Hinch that you were talking to
no
100%
AJ Hinch won't talk to me about this
no he won't
no when I asked AJ Hinch about it he was like that whole thing you lead off once a game whoa AJ
see,
if you're the leadoff guy you're following 7, 8, 9 if you're the cleanup guy you're following 1, 2, and 3
you tell AJ
chances are you're the guys in front of you are on base
you tell
you're
AJ,
the cleanup guy
you're going to tell
and
AJ
chances are they're not on base if you're the leadoff guy
you're going to tell AJ about
yeah I'm going to tell AJ how
to tell about analytics
yeah
okay.
yeah I'm going to
okay.
talk to him about it that's another story but AJ says he loves Carson's game but he's only 5'9"-ish. So, you know what? Body shaming is out in 2019.
So, he's listed as 6'1", which means he's 6 foot at the tallest.
That's the tallest.
Yeah. I mean, could he be
– He says 5'9".
He's
that's
not
like,
as – he's not
That's
as,
not the case.
Well, you know who else was that size? It was Damon Stoudemire. Remember how Stoudemire could get you a bunch of buckets? Stoudemire was a good player. He's rookie of the year.
There's a lot of guys that can
out.
Make it.
Yeah.
What, his skill set?
I think 5'11", and 6 – Even if he's sub 6 foot, I think he can,
yeah, he can
clearly
make it.
That knows
and
how to score.
He's played. I think he's played himself into the first round. Late
man,
in the first round,
so
somebody going to take him? Yeah, I believe yes.
You know, he only shot 39% from three, which
only
college. Well, I say that because
yeah,
college three is not.
Did you see his range though?
I no, mean, he's got range.
Yeah.
He's got range. It's just you
I
know,
just wonder how many he takes because obviously we look at Klein and how he gets his shots. Carson's generally it looks like at least from the tournament he gets them off a off on ball stuff. I wonder how is he a volume guy because he's making 39% shooting like 6 a game. I'd be more than happy with that as a just a stat watcher. He takes 10 a game and he takes over 10 a game and he made 35.5. So he's 39% for his career. The usage went up, so the percentage went down. He was a 40% shooter last year, taking 6.5. So we see that with James. Takes a lot. Then you're not probably not going to make as many, but he's just over 35% shooting almost
well, but
11
he,
a game.
Yeah, in the NBA, he probably won't take more than 6 or 7 a game.
Yeah.
I mean, he could get back to that.
And he might be. And he might
but it
take
is closer, yeah.
And he might take better shots.
And he looks like a good shooter that he'll work. I mean, you never know how he's going to transition.
Now, he only shot 39 under 40% overall. So that if you have concerns, it might be that. And that might be just simply shot selection. But he was under 40% as a shooter this year overall.
So what do we think of the way the Cougs went out?
I mean, it was heartbreaking. It was a heartbreaking game at the end. I don't put anything on them. Just Washington made a tremendous play on the ball. I didn't have a problem with the shot. They had all that momentum. They were rushing down.
Twice, though, Corey Davis drove the basket and was
rejected. But it was a good rejection, though. I mean, you're going up against the best shot blocker.
Right, I know. You're inside, and he's not that big a guy.
That was a ballsy game by him, though, Washington, to get out there on the – because we were talking about, we didn't even – that morning when we talked about –
What did he play, 37 minutes yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about him not being – well, they did say it was very touch and go the day before, you know, the day of the game. And so I guess, you know, they might have given him a little something to help with the pain. I don't know. But I just know this. I thought they played great. It was a back and forth. They never let the game get away from them. The momentum.
Well, halftime you thought maybe it could have gotten away.
Yeah.
And they didn't let it.
But they didn't let it. They came right back out, and it felt like that was going to be plus or minus four, really plus or minus three the entire way. And that's how the second half played out. And then when the Cougs went up by, by four, I think? I can't remember, 65, 61. They went up by four with a three, and I'm like, they're about to win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to win this thing. And then Washington got the block shot, and the game just kind of went the other way at the end. But
and they went to the free throw line so often. Yeah. Their last, 8 points were out
they got
on
a
the
ton
line.
Of calls. You're talking about Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky got a ton of calls. And maybe they were fouls. It just seemed like they weren't letting the Cougs play at all. They got very officious, over-officious, it felt like. But it was a good game. It was a good game to watch. And I really wish the Cougs could have moved on, because you just get the feeling. I mean, especially I know Auburn stepped up, but at the same time, you get the feeling the Cougs could have had a shot, a real shot.
Auburn's a little different team, I think. I think Auburn is more –
well, even with the injury, they still
– yeah.
That's a but very
– with Brown and Harper.
Nah,
I mean, they're going to –
they got some real talent.
That's Doug Moe basketball.
Yeah.
We're flying down the court, and we're throwing it up as often as we possibly can. And I love their style of play. Give credit to Auburn now. They're on a hell of a run.
You know why you love their style of play? Because it's the Rocket style of play. Up and down, a bunch of threes.
I feel like
they both shoot a bunch of threes?
I feel like that's awfully inaccurate.
Did they shoot a bunch of threes?
Extremely inaccurate.
Do they shoot a bunch of threes?
Yes. The Warriors shoot a bunch of threes too, but they don't play like the Rockets.
It actually used to be accurate, and then it hasn't been the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Kind of since Mike D'Antoni took over.
Well, at first it seemed like they were like that, and then all of a sudden they're one of the slower teams in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
As Tillman came out, and I talked about this last week, that Kelvin was offered top 15 money. I wasn't allowed to say it was 6 years, $18 million. I told you that in a break, that it was 6 years, $18 million, and Tillman came out and said it over the weekend. And it's going to be interesting to see whether or not, we can talk about this on the other side. Kelvin Sampson's decision, what he does, and why he has waited so long. That's next right here on ESPN 97.5. Gangland with the right hand, Undertaker with the tattoo. Never listen to the classroom. No. Switch it up to bit the last move. ESPN 97.5. All of the lights. Turn up the lights in here, baby. Extra bright, I want y'all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby. You know what I need, want you to see everything, want you to see all of the lights. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Prime Social, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Live at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. This month we're going, last month you had the tournament. Boy, did it get hot and heavy over the weekend, guys vying for tournament money just to get into the top three, because they paid cash for the biggest tournament winners from the month. And then also playing live cash games. You got the final 10 table that is going to be playing for the Chastain Jeep out there. So this is a fun time here at Prime Social. We got a big tournament that's going to be coming your way soon that we'll talk about. The Nuts debuts on Thursday night at 7. That is going to be Steve and I mostly, but anybody, you, Lance, you, whenever you can, we want you on. We want, we're going to have dealers on. We're going to tell stories. We're going to have all kinds of good stuff.
When is it going to, why are you going to be on it? And are they all doing a separate, I think y'all are doing a separate, aren't y'all doing a separate thing with comics and stuff like that?
No. I'm not involved.
No.
You should be.
Why?
You and Raheel and Steve.
That should be a show. That should be a show.
Well, not John. He'll deuce all over everything that's been talked about.
Well, that's kind of stupid. Well, you're a grown man. Like you're talking about comic books.
Like a radio show.
Congratulations. Grow up. I used to talk about comic books, but then I turned 8.
Yeah, now you just – what do you do now? What do you talk about now?
Poker.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a grown man sport.
Sure it is.
Okay.
You're playing with cards.
It's for grown men.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
A 12-year-olds play cards.
Okay.
Let's not pretend like poker is
No.
It's a battle of men.
Grown-ass men play.
The only reason 12-year-olds don't play is because grown men don't want to get beat by them, so they don't let them gamble.
Yeah.
We're not going to suggest that young people should gamble. If we gave your kids like a month to learn poker, you don't think they start tossing these dudes around? Wiping the floor with them?
My sons?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not your kids.
No, not unless they put a card game on Fortnite.
Not mine.
If you let your kids play video game poker, you don't think they would?
Alec has already made a comment that he's learned to play blackjack, and maybe it was poker. He's already started, and I'm not trying to encourage it.
So stop it.
His
it's a game of men, please. If you put it on
grown ass man
for video poker,
who took over the poker scene like in the early 2000s? Women. It was all a bunch of 20 somethings who, because they're fired in there like they don't have a care. Because if you're 20 something, you don't have a care.
You gotta have nuts.
So a kid, if you bankrolled a kid, he wouldn't care. He would toss you guys around.
So this is what happened. This is what's happened in poker. It wasn't just then, it's now. It used to be it's old like Philadelphia Charlie and Amarillo Slim and all these salty poker players. Yeah. Like, we know how to, there's a way to play and the strategy. And then these snot nosed 20 somethings roll in on the, through computer, and they're like all in, like there's no rules, there's no,
yeah,
and all these
some nuts.
Top players are getting knocked
change
out. They're like
shoot threes,
John. Get
it's exactly what it was, and all the older players like this isn't even poker anymore.
Yeah,
you're not even playing poker anymore.
It's flop and shove. Let's go, baby.
Yeah,
let's
get
go.
That's get beat by the Cadens of the world.
No. Mm-hmm. And some unbelievable athletes like Greg Raymer.
What?
And
athletes? You're sitting down in the chair. What are you talking about?
Oh, hey, Chris Moneymaker.
Yeah, Chris Moneymaker.
Chris Moneymaker
Raymer is a heart attack just sitting there.
Greg Moneymaker was the John Daly of poker. Like, he was the guy who came in like, this isn't supposed to be poker
Have
is.
Have you seen Greg Raymer's mugshot?
Oh, no.
He had a mugshot?
Greg Raymer? What was he? DUI?
I don't know what he was, but that's the first
image
of him.
No, I think that's just a picture.
He was arrested.
Was he?
I don't know what he's arrested for, though.
No.
It's on pokernews.com.
Phil Ivey, the next Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Thank you. Speaking of Tiger Woods.
Greg Raymer was arrested in a male prostitution ring. He wasn't the prostitute. He was looking for some. I'm looking at him, just being clear. He's not the guy prostituting himself.
Good for him, Greg. I don't care. What about, speaking of which, did you guys watch Kevin Kisner dominate this weekend?
What does he play?
Man, that was some good stuff.
What is
golf.
He play? Oh, sorry.
Do they call him the Kiz?
No, they don't.
Oh, probably.
The Kiz. Do they call him the Kiz?
Unbelievable. Did you see Barrygard beat Tiger Woods after Tiger beat Rory?
Don't ask these questions. The answer is always no.
How about Rory? I did see Rory.
Oh, you tuned
Tiger
in.
Beat Rory.
Well, not the what you just said.
This is how I saw it.
Because I reminded
Tiger's
you guys.
Up 3-up.
Yeah.
Like on my phone. Yeah. I didn't see
I reminded you guys
swing.
To watch.
I didn't see an actual swing.
I didn't watch.
You tuned right in.
I didn't see an actual swing.
That's not true.
That was a great weekend.
Tournament action. How about that? They're just biting off the tournament and creating their own tournament.
No,
it's actually
didn't.
Smart.
It's the World Golf. I mean, it's Dell Technologies.
Oh, going
match
on
play.
During March Madness. What a shock.
What are you talking about? No, it's not. It has nothing to do
with them. And guys have
They've
seeds.
They've been playing this forever.
Guys have seeds.
These guys have, the tournament's been around forever, too.
No, this has been going on since the 20s.
That's a lie.
He's
There's
lying.
No tournament going
He's
on since the 20s.
The Dell Technologies.
No.
Yeah.
No,
that's
this
a lie.
This World Golf Championship since the, 90s maybe? Or even 2000s.
No. But they've been playing match play forever in golf.
Yeah, like,
no, but not this forever. Tournament setup.
Yeah, that's how like you do this? It. That's how you set
with
up a
seeds?
Tournament. When you match play, you all meet.
With the
yes,
seeds?
That's how you do it.
I thought it was kind of random back in the day. Random
never,
draws.
Never been random. This they've always had a bracket.
This is a
and this is that's what the NCAA tournament. They're the ones that piggyback.
That seems likely.
So anyway, Kevin Kisner, congratulations.
Yeah, congrats on Kis. I didn't bring this up last time, and good job, Kis. But Texas.
Good job, Kis.
Texas Tech, right?
No.
So listening to how they were built with – where's Mooney from, by the way? Where's he a grad transfer from?
South Dakota something.
Was he a South Dakota State guy?
Not the state. I think just South Dakota.
Just South Dakota?
Yeah.
So you got St. John's. Grad transfer. You got wherever Mooney came from, Hickory or wherever. I assume he came from Hickory.
He didn't come from Hickory.
Did he transfer from Hickory?
From South Dakota is where he came from.
Okay. And he's a good player.
I'm
like,
take
he's
it back.
A pretty good player.
I said he got that line in his head when he got to Lubbock. He's had this in South Dakota. I'm looking at
Has
a picture
he?
Right now. Yeah, he's always had that swag.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of swag there. That's why that line looks so out of place. He does look like he's a 1950-style basketball player. And he plays like it, too. But he's just
– His reverse layups?
His reverse layups are bananas.
Yeah. Just throw it up.
And it's not this. It's just jump, and he just knows how to use the rim to protect it. But and you're Italian with the big three in that game the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Moretti or Costanzo or whatever his name
and
is.
What?
And they brought his family in. Luigi, Chris Beard goes,
Luigi.
Hey, Luigi, who are you playing? I want you to stand up and tell everyone who you're playing for. All right, I'm playing for all of my – I'm sorry. He goes like this. I'm going to play for all of my teammates, all of you guys. Oh, look at this. It's my mom and dad in the back of the room. And my brother. You brought him, Chris and Beard. This is a setup. And they cry. Mm-hmm. And his family comes in and they're all like, hey, you do this so good in the Elite Eight. Ooh. And all the Italian, they did Italian stuff.
Have you ever been to Bologna?
I mean. On a Google vacation.
No, I went there.
On Google
and you know what I got there when I went?
What?
Bologna.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
That's,
well, you have to eat bologna if you go to Bologna.
That's the same. That's where it
that's
really
where it comes
from.
That's why they make the meat there. Yes.
Wow.
That's where it comes
from. I feel like it's been bastardized here.
A little bit.
It's been bastardized
here.
Kind of
like Mexican food here, okay?
Yeah.
It's a little bit bastardized.
Well, we can get
it's a little bit
Mexican
disrespectful
food here.
The way,
you mean Mexican food in Nebraska?
Bologna there has the white in it. You know, it's got the white circles
in it. You mean
the
fat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actual fat, yeah.
Yeah.
So it makes it delicious.
Yeah.
But who builds teams like that? You know how we're going to get to the final? They're like Chris Beard and his coaches were huddled up. What do we do to get to the Final Four? You got this one guy. You, Kevin, what do you got? I want to pitch on something, coach. We need a white guy from South Dakota. What? Yeah.
Yep.
I need to get an Italian in here.
From Italy.
Guard? An Italian guard? Yeah, literally from Italy. Not like DiVincenzo. I mean, a literal Italian, a white guy from South Dakota. I think we start there, maybe add a shot blocker from St. John's, and I think we'll be good. That doesn't sound like the model that's going to work. Just trust me, coach. All right, let's go with Kevin's. Let's go with Kevin's idea here. Add an Italian and a guy from South Dakota.
Love it. Love it.
I didn't see. You sure we can get them to Lubbock?
Yeah.
And a kid,
hey,
from,
no, by the way.
And a kid from New York. Coach, listen. Italy, South Dakota, New York.
And by the way, they take us to the Final Four.
Bring them all to Lubbock.
713-780-3776, live from Prime Social, home of the $5,000 guarantee daily and the $10,000 on Friday. Come play tournament.
ESPN. 97.5.